Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Everything that went on there, when he was at school, he saw the difference. When he played with his friends and then finally got a job as a carpenter. And then he went into ministry. James had seen how he handled every situation, that he was gentle, forgiving, kind and peaceful always. And he grew in truth so that by the age of 12, he was so knowledgeable that he started to teach the Pharisees in the temple. And so to James, every season of Jesus's life was lived in the Spirit and was important. It was important that he lived it in the Spirit. And here's the thing, is that you're important to God as well. You're a son and a daughter of him. He lives within you now. And so whatever stage of life you're on or in, whether you're at school, college, whether you're in your first job, or like some people, you're on your 10th, maybe your 20th job. It doesn't matter whether you're a mum or a dad or a grandparent, or whether you're single, your life is important. The Spirit of God wants to pour out into every situation that you're in. You are priceless to God. And Galatians 5:16 says, look, keep in step with the Spirit. We're to live in the Spirit, live out of the Spirit, and let the Spirit pour out of us in every situation, wherever we are, whatever season we're in. And that's what James is really about. And he gives us some stepping stones on how we can do that, okay? Raising your hands, praising God, and saying, I'll give my life to you is fantastic. But it's got to look like something. We've got to walk in it, keep in step. And so James gives us a few stepping stones we're going to look at now. And he says this. Look, first of all, he addresses boasting. He said, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this town and that town and we're going to earn a bit of money. Such boasting, he said, is arrogance. It's presumption. You're presuming you know everything that's going to happen. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. We get insights. No. He said, that's evil. And actually, that's sin. That's what he says. As usual, James is pretty hard-hitting with what he says. He's very blunt with what he says. But you see, what James isn't saying, he's not saying don't plan your life, don't plan your future. Because actually there's plenty of proverbs that say that it's a very good thing to plan your future. And Proverbs 15:22 says that, look, a life fails for lack of planning and lack of good counsel, but succeeds when we do plan well and we do get good advice. So my advice is, from James here, is do plan. Do plan. Get a 5-year plan, a 2-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year plan. Even during the pandemic, don't lock your doors and think life's over. Right now is how we should be preparing for what's coming. We've been doing that in the last few days as leadership, and you know, it's fantastic. I'm really excited about the different things that God is going to be doing, but we should have that. And James 1:5 tells us, look, this is the time you need to ask for wisdom. Ask God and say, God, I don't know, but can you give me wisdom? And it's a real thing that God imparts his wisdom to us. And who knows that God's wisdom is going to be a bit better than ours. Yeah, that's the way it is. And so James is saying, what he is saying, is saying planning your life without consulting God and being with God. It's like Abi just said, no, I want to do what God says. I want to do his work. Without doing that, living your life without that is boasting. It's foolishness and it's doomed to fail. And we're going to end up making bad choices in life. No. James says, no, boast in the Lord. Boast in what he will do, because he does know the future. And he knows you as well. He knows your limitations and what's yet to break out to see the fullness of who you are. And so Jesus, as we look at Jesus, he did the same. You know, imagine that. Jesus, the Son of God, could have done anything he wanted to do, but he didn't. He did what he saw the Father doing, and we follow that pattern. And so plans in the flesh that James is saying, I want you to come out of them, Well, they're very well reasoned. They make sense to us. We look at the future, 2 + 2 = 4, and we think, yeah, we're good to go on this. But it's wrong. You know, it's not the way we do it. Faith-filled plans are scary and they're risky, and it means stepping out into the unknown. So often it's full of faith. That's what we're called for. And I'll give two examples here. I'll give an example first of a plan I had that had none of God in it, but it made all sense. You know, it was totally out of the flesh. I mean, the thing was, I was really in with this main contractor, loved us, and he had some plumbing to do. And we wanted to do the plumbing because the guy said, look, no one else wants to do it. We trust you. We're going to make sure it earns well. And I had a guy that was a fantastic plumber. And so I set up the firm, set him up. It was all there, whole year, 2 years' work it was. And we were going to earn 30 grand a year for doing nothing. It was like, come on, look at that. Worst mistake I ever made. There was none of God in it at all. I mean, as far as this guy was concerned, he was fantastic at what he did, but he'd work for about 3 or 4 days and then we wouldn't see him for 2 weeks. And so the firm crashed. It was an absolute disaster. And that's what God's saying. Don't plan like that. I should have consulted him. Then we see a plan made in faith, which is the firm that I'm still part of now. Because the first thing that happened was God said, I want you to start applying for contracts that are far bigger than you could ever think you could handle. And it was like so scary filling these council forms in and all that. And I can remember the day that we landed one of them contracts. Tony will probably remember Bexley Council came through. It was 100 times bigger than anything we'd landed before. It was scary. And then God said to me, I want you to buy a house worth 10 times more than you've ever bought before. And it was like, no, I can't do that. No, buy the house and you can do work from the house. And I can tell you now, I was in fear for it. But we stepped out and it was the best thing I've ever done. And God's looked after us ever since. Why? Because we consulted God and God was in it. That was a work in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Wall it back. It goes from every small thing you do in life. Involve God, not just the big things. Involve God in your life. So my advice as we're looking at coming out of lockdown, what's the future going to be like, is this. Ask God. Consult God. So ask him and say, God, what do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do for the rest of my life? What is there? And as you come to him as a friend and spend time with him, you'll find that God will start to reveal to you things he wants you to do. And when you do it, you catch his heart, knowing that when you step out in faith to do what he's asking you to do, that he will be there, that he's going to be resourcing. He's going to be helping and bringing you all the help you need to do what he wants you to do, even to the point where Paul says in Ephesians 3:2 that you will accomplish far more than you could ever dream or imagine. And then James goes into one. He starts to question us. He said, you know, who do you think you are? What do you think your life is? He said, your life is no more than a mist. It's a mist here today. It appears today and then it vanishes tomorrow. And I spent most of my childhood in the woods and I absolutely loved them. The beauty of it all, the trees, the valleys, the grass. I honestly loved that. But then you'd get the days where the mist came in first thing in the morning and then the sun would rise up and all of a sudden the mist was there and then it was gone. And James is saying, that is what your life is going to be like. We're all going to die. Once we're dead, after a time, we'll be forgotten and it'll be like we're never even there, just like the mist that was there and gone. No one remembers it again. That is what your life is like and that is what my life is like. And all that is going to be left is our story that we did with God, what we did for him. Everything else gets burnt up. We're told that. And so the truth is this, You don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. No. We don't boast about that. We go to God and we boast about the things that God will do with us. It says there, James, that if what we do, we say that if the Lord wills, I will do this and I will do that. And so we fully surrender our life to him. Do you know what? God flung all the stars up in the space and not one of them opposes his will. They do exactly what he's asked them to do until he returns. In heaven right now, the angels, the archangels, there isn't one split second that any one of them would oppose God's will. It's only when you come to earth and you look into the heart of man, the fleshly desires that we've got rise up and they oppose the spirit. And the spirit opposes the desires of the flesh. And it's a war we've got to win. Yes, we've won it on the cross, but we have our battles and we've got to win them, guys. And so I ask you now, is your heart surrendered to God this morning? Think about it. Are you surrendered to God? Are you doing your own thing, flesh life, or are you submitted to him? And it's a big word, isn't it? Surrender. Because we don't like to feel like we're not in control. But the thing is this, it's not like we're surrendering to an army that wants to defeat us, to rob us of anything good, to do us harm and tread all over us, maybe snuff us out. It's not like that. We're submitting to the very one who wants to do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. He dotes over us. He dotes over you, knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway, and he's got a wonderful plan. He delights in you, so we surrender to him so that we can become all that God has called him to be. And God is calling us today, church, as individuals and a church, lay your life down afresh. It's time to stop living out of the flesh and fulfilling your fleshly desires. Stop fighting God. He wants the best for us and he's got great plans for us. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Can I hear a glory to that?
Glory.
That was a bit wet, guys. Come on, a glory to that.
Glory.
That's better. Come on. Praise the Lord. And so now we look at 5:1 and James says, come now, you who are rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming to you. Now, brace yourself for this, because I think James really goes into one on this, and it's strong stuff. But James is not condemning money. He's not condemning wealth. He's condemning greed. And there's a big difference between saving up for a good future and being generous and saving up for me, myself, and holding it all. And so we are to establish our hearts. Verse 8 says, establish our hearts. So examine our hearts today, right now. Have you got a stingy heart or have you got a generous heart? Because a stingy heart is a foolish heart. It means you're storing up your wealth for yourself, that you would live in comfort and you would live in luxury, while so many people live in lack, especially as we come out of lockdown. You're keeping it all to yourself. Well, you know God's given you more than you should have so that you can help others. That's a stingy heart. And this is a bit where James proper loses it. He said, if you do that, your money will eat away your flesh. And what he's saying is that it's going to eat away your very soul. Look at that. Eat away your very soul. How many rich people do you know that all of a sudden they can buy a boat or they can buy a new holiday home? Or they can have a holiday here, or they can build a spacecraft that goes to the moon. They've always got projects and money to spend, so they've got no time with God. So when it comes to that final day of what have you done for me, they're going to have nothing in their hand. It eats away your very soul. And even at home, we can want the newest telly, we can the newest car, the newest settee, and it can eat away the life that we've got, that God's got for us. Don't do it, church. Come out of the flesh and live in the spirit for God. Live for him. No. We're to call to have a generous heart. A generous heart with us, with God, with others. A generous heart does save up. It saves up for a rainy day because it's wise and it knows that there's going to be rainy days. We live in a fallen world. And we save up to leave a legacy. Like Angela said last week, you know, that we leave a legacy for our children and our children's children. And we give well, guys, to the church. That God gives us everything and we give back 10%. That's what he asked for, knowing that God will bless us. He gives us advice on it in Malachi 3:10. He challenges us with a promise. Test me with this. Give me what I ask for, the full 10%, and I'll bless you so much you'll not be able to keep it all. It will overflow and your barns will be overfilled. And I can testify to this. Me and Debbie, 20-odd years ago when we got married, we made a pact with God and we said, God, look, if you look after us with the firm, we will never ask a church for money. And we haven't over all the years of the Well Church and 10 years before that, more than that. We've never asked for anything. And we do actually pay money into the church. That's how we got a fund for a building at some point and however God wants to use it. And I know other people that are amongst us, they follow God's economy. Not the world's economy, it's mine, it's all mine. But no, God's given it. And if I give some away, he'll give even more. And I've seen how they get blessed and their businesses and lives flourish because of it. And I want to thank the people now that you do tithe in. You do give that 10% as God asks, and that has allowed me, you know, through lockdown, you've kept going. Thank you. That's allowed us to get this streaming equipment, which is very expensive, but we've been able to carry on as a church at this time because of it. Debbie has been able to work with CAP. Again, that's not cheap, it's expensive, but we've helped 25 families come out of crippling debt because the money you pay in. We've helped Beverly Brooks up in Newcastle help ex-offenders get work. We've given to the fund that was helping developing countries in the time of COVID. We've started a schools work where we help the most vulnerable and in need families there. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. And then James calls us to patience. With all this, he calls us the next stepping stone, patience. Be patient, therefore, brothers, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit to be emerging out of the earth. And so some things take time. You know, a farmer, he sows a seed, then he waters it, waits for a while, and then the sun comes up and it starts to grow, bud, and flourish. And so we are called to be patient. Now, I've got to say that patience is definitely not my top gift, okay? Anyone that knows me probably knows that. But it's not, I'm not as impatient as years ago. But I went for my vaccination last Thursday and I was there on time. And now all of a sudden we went round the corner and there was this massive great queue. It was over 100 metres long. It was freezing cold, it was windy, and I come that close to walking home, and I thought, no, I've got to do it, I need this injection, so I started to wait, and everything was going well. I'm going, calm down, easy, easy, me and Deb's having a laugh, until this Jobsworth walked up and aggressively said to me, you're not allowed to stand there, cars might want to come through to the car park. And I very kindly, it wasn't that bad, but told him he needed to get a new job. And afterwards, I kind of like had to repent a little bit, you know, and that. But I'm a lot better than I was. And so we are to be patient and learn to be patient. Here's why. Okay, with situations, we don't know what God is doing. With people, we don't know what he's got. We've got to have eyes to see what God is doing. And if we allow him, we'll see what God wants to do, even in lockdown and what God has been doing through this COVID situation. God is at work. God is at work. But we've got to look after our mental health in all this. And so, church, be patient in lockdown right now. As the pressure seems to get worse, you know, stop stressing, James would say. Don't be anxious. No. He says, establish your heart in the word there. And so, what does it look like? It means to this, to proclaim today, I am who God says I am. Not the world. I am who God says I am. I've got a sound mind. I have great favor with God. We've got to proclaim these things. Proclaim that God loves me and cares for me. That he has a great future for me. And guess what? James said, Jesus is coming back. Can I hear a hallelujah to that? Come on, he's coming back. So it doesn't matter really what happens between now and when he comes back, if we're in the spirit doing his stuff and that, he's coming back to take us to heaven where there's going to be no more sickness and suffering and pain ever. It's going to be amazing. He's coming back for you. You're not going to be forgotten, guys. So if you're feeling stressed, a bit of advice, find someone to unload on. All right, warn them, it helps, all right, warn them and say, look, all I want to do, I want to unload my week, yeah, please don't give me advice, don't stand there quoting scripture at me, I just want to get it out, yeah, that's why you have to warn them, and do it. And just do that and say, if you want to do that to me, that's fine. You know, we see the psalmist do that. Whatever he was going through, just got it out. Tell God. But find a person that you can do that with as well. It so helps. Since lockdown, me and Debbie have been doing this walk. Takes 50 minutes down to King Cross and back. And we've learned the art of just chatting together again. You know, it gets out the pain inside. It gets out the stresses and all that we're going through. Just encourage you with that. Find that person. And in verse 9, James says, look, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. And it's so tempting right now, isn't it, to grumble at the people in your house because you're fed up with seeing them. You're there 24 hours a day. It's easy to grumble with others who see things a little bit different around you at work or the church. We can all get into grumbling. And you know what? I've had a few days, yeah. But the thing is, we're patient. Why is that? Because we're all going through stuff. I learned yesterday, one of our people, can't say it, but they lost their brother. You don't know what someone is going through. And so we wait. And we wait for the fruit that God is bringing out in the person that irritates us. Or in the situation, we might not understand it. You're not always called to understand, but we're called to love and be patient so that we can see and encourage what the Holy Spirit is drawing out of each one of us. The problem today is that people give up. We do, we give up with our families, with marriages, with our ministries. Come on, we've all struggled with that at times. And what James says is, look, think of the prophets that have gone before. Think of Job, you know, man of God. His life was going well. It was wonderful. And then suddenly disaster happened. He never knew it was coming. It came. And he lost his business. He lost his health. He lost 10 children. Can imagine that? 10 children. And then his face, his friends rubbed his face in it. And they're saying, what is your sin? You are sinning, that's why God's punishing you. And he wasn't, he was a righteous man. No. God was at work. He gave us a story. He gave Job, he proved God's Job's faith through that. And whatever we struggle with, remember, we're never going to struggle as much as Job did in that. But Job, you see, he trusted God. He never slated God, blamed God. He trusted him. Do you trust God? Do you trust God with your life? Because in the end, when he came through it, Job forgave his friends for being rotten and God blessed him with twice as much. And last thing is this. I'm telling you, verse 12, James says, look, above all, brothers, let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you won't come under condemnation. And I've always wondered, what exactly does that mean? And what it means is this, is don't get so carried away with things in life. Don't get so charismatically, well, I'm going to be part of that. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that for God. And then suddenly the stress of it all comes and you go, no, I can't do that. Or you realise the cost of it is more than you thought, I'm out of that. Or maybe you get tired and you think, I'm done, I'm not. You know, so later you say no, because you didn't prepare properly, you didn't plan properly for it. And I'll be honest with you guys, I've had that, okay? I've had days when I want to get out. As a pastor, I think, you know what? I can't cope with this anymore. Truth. So many pastors, most pastors are like that every Monday. Did you know? It's like that. But we don't give up, guys. We hold on to God. We hold on to Him. Only He has the words of eternal life and He will get you through it. I know that every time that I felt like that, He gets me through and I think, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so James is calling us out of the flesh into the Spirit. You up for that, guys? He's calling you to shine with the glory of God, to look like Jesus, the Jesus that James saw. This is what it looks like. Let us just hold our hands up. If you in prayer, if you don't know this Saviour and you've never surrendered to Him, just say this, God, I'm fed up with doing it my way. I thank you, you died on the cross for me that I could be forgiven. Please come into my heart and help me live this life. I want eternal life with you. Please, Jesus, forgive me. You are now my Lord. If you do that for the first time and mean it in your heart, believing Jesus rose from the dead, you will be saved. I'm just going to walk us through them stepping stones. Just receive from God right now. Okay. So for all of us, he says first, you matter to God. You need to know that. That whatever situation you're in life, be in the Spirit. Let Christ come out of you. Live for that. Secondly, make plans for your future to be generous. Then you'll be blessed beyond your imagination. Surrender third, your life to Jesus. He knows what's best for you and He wants to do something amazing in your life. Fourth, be patient in situations. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do and draw the best out of the situation and the person. Then find someone that you can let loose on and just get out the struggles and the pains right now. Every member of the church needs to do this. In lockdown, it's such a frustrating time. Sixthly, don't grumble. You know, we all get days when we want to, but it doesn't help. It doesn't make you feel good. And remember, we're all suffering right now. And then lastly, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Think of what God has said to you, like B.E., he's been challenged by God. Think through what it means. And then what the Holy Spirit drops in your heart, stick to it with all that you've got. And I promise you, you'll have a life that you'll be celebrating for the whole eternity. And you won't be living in regret like those who follow the desires of the flesh. They will be living in regret this life. We don't want that. We want to live celebrating and enjoying all that God will do with us and in us. Lord, I pray for every person listening. I pray, bless them, Lord. Bless them, God. Come in power, Jesus. Move upon us, Lord. You're such a good God. You're such a good God. And release us, Lord, from, you know, the desires. What are the desires? To sexually do whatever we want to do. It's not your way. To spend our money on ourselves. Lord, we renounce it and we say, take it, Lord. To gossip and pull people down, to cause division. We're the church. We're the body that reflects you, God, to the powers and the principalities. And when people come in, they've always said about the world, you are so loving and we're so diverse. We've got diverse, old, young, rich, poor, black, why, everything between young, old, it's an amazing place to be. That's the witness of the church, the multifaceted witness that we have, that no other organisation has, with the presence of God on us. Let it come. Let that life flow through your body. Let it flow through your mind. Let Him free up now them rotten thoughts. There's some people, because of lockdown, your mind has got stuck on this never-ending picture, a film that goes on in your mind about gloom and doom and how bad it's going to be. Now, mate, Jesus is coming back for you. You matter to God. You matter to Him. every situation, every season of life. He wants to be there with you and for you, out of the flesh and into the spirit. He's calling you now, come out of the flesh and live in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everyone in the house said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.